Will you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 11? I want to thank all of you tonight again for your being here to pray tonight and your prayer, all of your prayers, your participation in prayer meetings, as well as praying personally day to day during our 40 days of prayer. We've been following along. We've felt rather than a prayer request for every one of the 40 days, we just needed to pray scripture around a theme for each week. And beginning today, we read those great two verses out of Psalm 100 this morning and on to the end of our 40 days of prayer, which is this Thanksgiving day. Largely, our prayers are going to be prayers of praise this week, prayers of thanksgiving, thanking God, recognition that He is the source of every good thing in our lives and giving Him praise. And I encourage you to just take these next few days leading into Thanksgiving and just thank Him. Praise seals the work of God in our lives. And praise also does great spiritual battle, because it keeps pointing us away from the problems and to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. He is still Lord. That means He's in charge. He's ruling. He is unlimited. He is not been knocked off His throne. It means He's still on His throne. He still has authority over principalities and powers and every other name that's named. For His name is above every name, the great name of Jesus. He is Lord. And thank God, we have a lot to praise Him for this week. Praise Him. Jesus says, when you have prayed, believe that you have received, and the answer shall be given to you. And so somehow by faith we possess the answer in the spiritual realm, and then we begin to praise Him. We praise Him even before we see the answer released, because that is the exercise of faith. That is part of taking things in the spiritual realm. So I encourage you, even if you feel you haven't seen all the answers to all your prayers yet, take these next few days leading into Thanksgiving and do the great work of praise. Do the great, just adore the Lord. Thank Him for the answer. Thank Him for His sufficiency. Keep your eyes on Him and see what He will do. Will you turn in your Bible to Luke 11? I already said that. Will you stand with me as we read from verse 5 down to verse 13? Verses 11, 12, and 13 are where we left off last week as we spoke about five keys to deepening and growing our prayer lives. And we ended with verses 11, 12, 13. Wanted to pick it up from there and talk about persistent prayer tonight. And the story that leads up to verses 11, 12, and 13. It starts with verse 5. Jesus, then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's what? Boldness. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's about as good as it gets right there. The powerful words of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Thank you for promises that do not fail. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Thank you that you are the loving Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to persistently pray tonight. And Lord, as we then go to prayer, we pray that your grace will be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's 3 characters in this story, and you'll like this. The leading role belongs to you and me. The leading role in this story is played by a guy who has 2 friends. One's an out-of-towner who shows up in the middle of the night. Don't you love friends like that? And the other is his next-door neighbor. And in this story that Jesus tells about prayer, you and I, he's his disciples, you and I, we are the ones that represent the guy with the two friends. And the neighbor represents somebody with a supply that he does not have himself. The one friend that lives next door has something that he doesn't have himself. And so this becomes our picture of God. The one friend who's the neighbor next door is the picture of God in this story. And the friend who comes from out of town, landing in the middle of the night, tired and hungry, he is like so many people in our lives. He's like the people we run into all the time. He's like most of the people sitting around you, people who just know they need God. They need only what he can give them. Now, not every person in your life realizes it's God you need. I believe every non-Christian you're with this week, whether they need it or not, their greatest need is for God. And every Christian in your life that you will meet this week, every person you might pray with or for tonight, is a person who needs something that only God can provide. And so it becomes the story of the middleman, except we don't call prayer people the middlemen or the middlewomen. We call them intercessors. It means one who stands in between a person who has a need and a person who has the resources to meet that need. When you intercede, there's different kinds of prayer. But intercession is that unique kind of prayer that Jesus is describing here, where we stand between humanity in need and God and his vast, unlimited supply. And we stand in between them, and we plead to one, we plead to God on behalf of the other. Now, what Jesus wants to teach us is that this is not always microwave prayer. This sometimes needs to be consistent, persistent prayer. There is a foreground in this story, and there's a background. In the foreground, the thing he highlights is our persistence. And so he unfolds a story like this. The guy that you and I, that's supposed to represent you and me as intercessors, because Jesus' subject here is prayer. The guy has a neighbor, a friend that comes, lands up in the middle of the night. It's late at night. He lands up in his house, and he's tired, and wouldn't you know it, we forgot to go to the store today. The cupboards are bare. We don't have anything to give to that person. I used to be reluctant at times to pray for people because I didn't know if I had what it was to give to them. I didn't know if I could pray for them just right. And what if nothing happened? You know, as if I'm the source instead of the delivery boy. I'm not the source of the bread. I'm just the delivery boy when I'm an intercessor. But somehow my job is to link the hungry guy in my world and in my life with the God who has the bread of life. And so he goes next door, and he knocks on the door. Now, it was not considered kosher to knock on a Jewish door late at night after it had been closed for the night. It was a little bit impolite. That's why Jesus refers to the boldness, sort of the insistence, almost the presumptuousness of this guy to go next door. Plus, in the sleeping accommodations, it's not like he was in his bed with his wife in the master bedroom and upstairs, you know, were his kids and their three kids in three bedrooms upstairs. This is not how they lived back then. They would have together slept as a family on a platform that would have covered a lot of the back part of the house. And then up closer to the door were probably several animals. They helped keep the place smelly, yes, but warm also at night. And the animals and the kids and all of this. And so that's why, you know, the guy wakes up and says, hey, I'm in bed with my children here, you know, because they all kind of slept together and then the livestock. Can you imagine the commotion for him to get up out of bed to go to the door? He is going to create a stampede of animals. Every kid in the house is going to wake up, you know, squawking and bawling, and his wife's going to be going, honey, what on earth are you doing? It's going to disrupt the whole place. This was not an easy affair to come to the door in the middle of the night. Plus, it's dark, and he's tripping over everything and everyone. You can imagine the noise. You can imagine the inconvenience. You can imagine the problem that just getting up and going to the door once a Jewish household had been locked down for the night. No wonder it was socially inappropriate to knock on that door after it had been closed at night. It created internal chaos. Did this dissuade the neighbor whose friend had shown up hungry in the middle of the night and he had nothing to feed him? Did this dissuade him? Apparently not. He knocks again. And then Jesus says, I tell you, verse 8, though that guy next door will not give up and give the bread because he's his friend. I mean, friendship only goes so far, folks, especially at 12:30 in the morning. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's what? Boldness. Some translations say his insistence or his persistence. Because the guy kept knocking. Because the guy wouldn't take no for an answer. Because the guy knew he had a starving friend on his hand and he needed to find him bread. And there was one guy within range who had bread, and that was his neighbor. And he wasn't going to stop till he got that bread for the sake of his friend. And so he says, no. He says, this man will not give up and give him bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much bread as he needs. So I say to you, keep on asking, and you will receive. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. That's in the foreground, our persistence. Why is intercession for others? Why does it sometimes need persistence? Partly because God constantly is trying to grow our faith. When you learn to stand in on behalf of others, whether it's somebody you're laying hands on and praying for in the moment, you are the intercessor. You are linking the one with the supply with the one of the need. Prayer is our partnership with God where we stand between him and people's needs and we cry out to God on their behalf. And this is the amazing thing. God answers, God delivers the bread as if the person in need had gone themselves and called out for that bread. God answers our prayers on behalf of other people. And he's saying we need to stay persistent about it because to grow in faith, you know, if God just delivered everything instantaneously as soon as we said it, you know, unless we'd really been broken and we're very dependent on God, we'd really grown in the way of faith. Our faith, we'd be more spoiled rotten than powerful people of faith. But God sometimes makes us just knock. And he says, in the sense of keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that's where faith either fails you or brings you through. That's where faith is tested because faith always deals with the invisible realm. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul says we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Without faith, the Hebrews writer says, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. There needs conviction is a faith before you see any evidence of it is the faith that that's the way it is. That's what pleases God. Persistence makes me make constant choices. Okay, I don't have the answer yet, so I gotta knock again. I mean, is he really there now? I have to make decisions. Am I trusting my perception of what God's track record ought to be and his schedule ought to be in terms of how and when he does things? Or am I trusting the character behind a God who so far hasn't answered me but just says, keep knocking? What's he doing? He's building and growing my faith. And also persistence in intercession is important because we're engaging a spiritual battle. We're engaging a spiritual battle. Like Daniel, he's praying and it's 21 days before the answer comes. But he keeps praying morning, noon, and night. Why? Because the angel comes and says, the spiritual principalities over Persia, we were at battle with them. They were seeking to keep this resource away. When persistent prayer engages us in great spiritual warfare and battle, I worry that when we lose our attention span after 3 minutes in prayer, we no longer know how to do spiritual battle anymore. Listen, there is a spiritual battle that's going on, and it requires us to not let go of God. And I'll tell you, you don't let go of God, and the devil's going to lose eventually. because Jesus already stripped him his authority at the cross. He's still acting like he's in charge. And there's a battle, and he's trying to rob us of resources and rob us of God's blessing, rob us of God's breakthroughs. You know, and say, well, I prayed for 3 minutes 8 weeks ago, and nothing's happened, you know. Well, I want to tell you, he said, keep on knocking, because there's a battle going on. Intercession, I mean, there's other kinds of prayers, as I said before. But when you choose the life of intercession, you are engaging. You're wrestling with demons. You're engaging spiritual battle as you keep knocking on God's door. Also, some prayers are just plain answered when they're prayer requests. But the answers to some prayers are birthed. Whole new initiatives of God are often birthed after extended periods of persistent knocking, seeking, and asking. It's like that picture of childbirth that Paul uses when he said, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us, praying through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. They're the groanings of the birthing of whole new initiatives, like the travail of birth. Prayer, intercessory prayer, in part, not just brings answers, but it births whole new initiatives and breakthroughs of God's will in the earth. And there's a travail often. It's just not neat and short and quick. It's that constant asking until it's like something has gestated in the spiritual realm and then pushed and finally come to birth. And new things of God's will and purpose, when we pray in line with them, happen. That's the story in the foreground, that God is calling us to keep praying. You know what? And to keep being prayed for. Some of you are going to come for prayer. You come for prayer many times. Come for prayer one more time, because we're here to stand in as those intercessors. We know who has the bread, and we know that God can break through for you. I just conclude by saying there's a background picture to this. As often happens, notice how Jesus, after saying, you know, if you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, it'll be given you. If you knock, the door will be open. There in verse 11, he does clarify any misconceptions of the character of God. The reason he portrays the neighbor who represents God as so reluctant is because he's trying to put the spotlight on our need to be bold in prayer. To not give it, to say, no, we're not taking, Lord, you promised, we believe this is your will. We're not taking no for an answer when it comes to your will being done. And so he's got to kind of paint the one who represents God as a little bit reluctant so that he can picture us needing to be persistent. But in the background of it all, however, is that funny upside-down way that Jesus teaches. To say, by contrast, is that what God's really like? Absolutely not. Yeah, we need to be persistent, but here's the great news that backdrops everything else. Our God's not reluctant. He's willing. Hallelujah. In fact, he says in verse 11, he's as willing as a loving father. Now he says, well, you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? Of course not. And if he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? Of course, that'd be perverse. He says, then if you, as marred by evil as you are, as natural human beings, if you instinctively know how to give good things to your children, how much more? How much more will your Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He said, you need to be persistent, but here's the good news. God's not nearly as reluctant as that neighbor was. He doesn't have to worry about waking up his kids and waking up the animals and tripping over everything in the dark. He lives in the light. He can do it like that. But he just calls you to pray and never lose heart and never grow weary. He calls us to continue the intercession. Scripture's been on my heart. I want to encourage you, even as we end our 40 days of prayer and move forward, let's pray without ceasing. Let's keep asking and knocking. Let's understand there's great spiritual battles. But what if a people of God would not let God go until his full will was being released in our families, in our lives, in our churches, in our cities? That he wants us to do, and he wants to call us on to do that. Will you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for the grace of God. We just commit ourselves, Lord. We ask, Lord, tonight that you will indeed give us hearts to keep seeking you. If some of us have become discouraged, if our faith has been worn down, we become cynical. We said, you know, I don't know, God, that you really do answer prayer. Oh, my God. Even though we haven't seen all the answers yet, help us to hear the counsel of Jesus. Help us to do at least what you've told us to do. And we thank you for your character and your greatness, that you'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Hallelujah. Will you just praise him right now? Just for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Give us hearts of intercession tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Make us bold in prayer, like the star of that story. Make us bold in prayer, knocking on doors. Lord Jesus, not letting you go until the spiritual battles are won. Harabasara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've called us to. Thank you for partnership with you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We've had numbers of healing nights over the last year. And over the last year and a half, really. And we usually have prayer partners come. That was powerful 2 weeks ago where just those of you who had been healed, those of you who had a financial miracle, and those of you who had a family miracle, you came and prayed for others. It was a powerful. I heard wonderful stories. And it was great. Sometimes we just have prayer workers here and just open it up for the next hour for all of you who want to come and get personal prayer. Tonight is a healing and miracle service. I was asking the Lord just to guide us. Somehow I just didn't feel we were supposed to do any of that way tonight. And I feel like the Lord kind of directed me in a way that we'll try to make happen tonight if I can make this understandable. And you've probably been in prayer meetings like this. I don't think we've ever done it since I've been here, although I've been in these kind before. And I'm going to ask those of you who would regularly be prayer workers on our healing service, in our healing services, and would you're open and wanting to help pray for people tonight. You're a regular prayer workers, or you visit in the hospital and pray. Or others of you, you've been a part of the church for a while. You may not be one of our regular prayer workers, but you've come with your heart prepared to pray for others. You've seen miracles in your life, and you would love just to pray for others. And I'm going to be asking you to come and to stand in two rows with enough space for people to walk in between those two rows. You're going to be facing one another. It's going to be like a gauntlet. That's a bad term, the prayer gauntlet, or a tunnel. And we're going to start from over there. And we're going to ask all of those of you who want to be prayed for, we want you to walk this. I heard somebody refer to it as a Holy Ghost car wash. We're just going to have you walk the prayer gauntlet. And at that end are going to be Pastor Hubert and Pastor Mike. And they're going to anoint you with oil as pastors. They're going to anoint you with oil. And then we're just going to have you walk. And we ask you not to stop because you're going to have a line behind you. But just slowly walk. And then we're going to just ask the prayer partners. Just walk slowly. Don't walk too fast, but don't stop. Just slowly. And the prayer partners, as you pass them, they're going to be laying their hands on you. They're going to be praying in the Spirit over you. They're going to be praying the prayer of faith. You won't be able to tell your prayer need to every prayer partner. But God knows your need. And the act of faith is going to be just letting people pray for you and letting the Holy Spirit just wash over you tonight. And that's the picture God put. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, that's the way I want you to just to cover people with prayer tonight and minister. I just want you to minister tonight. I just want the Holy Spirit to wash over you tonight and to fill you, whatever your need. I mean, you may just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You may not be sick. You may not have a financial or a family problem. You may not have a relational problem. But you just want to be touched by God. You're welcome just to come through and be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. You just may want more anointing on your life. It doesn't need to be like you're sick or anything. But definitely if you're sick, if you need healing, if you need a miracle of any kind, come and walk through. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith over your life. Pastor Tom is going to be leading us in worship. So glad the Lord's kind of helped restore his voice after a couple of weeks of not having much of a voice. And so Tom's going to be leading us in worship tonight. And you can just sit there and worship the Lord as well. I'd like those of you who would, while we're just standing for a couple more moments, those of you who would like, who are prayer partners or would like to be a part of praying for people in our prayer tunnel, if you would just come. And I'm going to ask you to stand in two rows. Pastor Mike and Pastor Hubert are going to stand at that end, and then from there, about there, Mike, that's great. And then, or maybe come a little farther this way, Mike and Hubert, that's good. Just a little farther, that's great. And then just come, all of those of you. Any of you who feel, you feel faith tonight, or you just know that you'd love to pray for me. You feel led of the Lord. You sense of the Lord to impart to others tonight. And amen. We got lots of ways to go here. Amen. So let's pull this line all the way out here. There we go. Farther, farther. Great. We're just self-organizing here. Just give us a moment. Hallelujah. Just self-organize. Hallelujah. What a tunnel of faith this is. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. We got a little, maybe somebody just by Jim Reisner there in the gap there can fill in. That's wonderful. Good. We just want to be fairly even. I'd like the rest of you to reach out your hands. And I'd like each of you to go to the person across you. Just lay your hand on them. We're just going to pray for one another as prayer ministers tonight. Father, we just pray, Lord, right now that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon each one of these folks tonight. Harabasindarabasiya. Let faith, let the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gifts of healing, my God, let the gifts of the Holy Spirit be released to their lives today. Hallelujah. Anoint them to pray for your people. Anoint them to share in your heart, to impart to people the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint them, O God, to minister refreshing and healing and life and anointing, O God. We pray for one another. We pray, O God, that you'll anoint these prayer workers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We may be doing a little corporate prayer, depending on how long this takes, but we just again ask, when you begin walking, walk slowly, but we just ask you not to stop, and just out of respect for others wanting to go through behind you. So just walk slowly without stopping, but if you walk slowly, there'll be plenty of time for each person to pray for you pass through. May God just bless you and anoint you. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. We may have some corporate prayer to close. We'll just see where God leads tonight, but just this is going to be a worship place. If you want to visit, go in the lobby. But this is a sanctuary of God's presence. You just worship as Pastor Tom leads. And you come for prayer. And you intercede for people. Maybe God speaks to you about going to somebody else here and just praying for them. Maybe God will give you a word for somebody of encouragement. And you can even minister to one another out there. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You come. Let's start at this end. This end where you can be anointed with oil. You can walk across the back or through the pews and come to this end. And we'll be going this way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.